Which commandment in the law is the greatest? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Judging from current fads in our vocabulary, it seems that most of us think that life is too complicated, or perhaps at least more complicated than it needs to be. One clue is the frequency of the words basic and basically in our speech. The basic of the idea or the proposal is dot, dot, dot. Or basically, how do you see the situation? And most all of us have given into the fashion of creating nouns out of adjectives as we express the need to get back to the basics in everything from education to economics. We want more clarity and understanding of the fundamental matters of living, and as our lives become more and more complex, we yearn for simple, easy to cope with issues and ideas. Yet all too often, this search for simplicity results in still greater complexity. Religious fundamentalism in our society has grown as a response to this search for simple answers to complex questions, this hunger for a more simple way of understanding God and religious life, which does not have to struggle with the challenges of silence and philosophy. In our gospel lesson today, Matthew tells us that the Pharisees learned that Jesus had dumbfounded the Sadducees, and therefore they seized the opportunity to hand Jesus their own test of orthodoxy. The question to Jesus as to what was the most important commandment in the law enabled Jesus to cut through layers of religious laws and ordinances and go straight to the heart of Judaism. And I think it's important that we understand three very critical observations about the reply that Jesus gave. First, there is an inseparability of the two commandments, to love God and to love the neighbor. Second, while inseparable, neither is dissolved into or co-opted by the other. And third, we see with crystal clarity that this love of God and love of the neighbor are the interpretive keys to understanding all the law and the prophets. Jesus recited Israel's ancient creed, the Shema, and then he coupled it with a brief summary of the Levitical code. And in case you might find that a bit complicated, his answer was basically this: love God completely with all your being. That's the first. And just as important, there is the second: love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. With these two teachings, Jesus crystallized centuries of theology, and he articulated the essence of what life in covenant with God is all about. Some would even say that these commandments are the very hinges on which the door to heaven swings open, and that the matter of whether or not that door opens to any person is somehow related to these two commands. In other words, Christian faith and practice does not get any more basic than this: love God completely, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The willingness of Jesus to give the Pharisees an answer is a reminder that some aspects of our faith and practice are indeed more important than others. And the profound brevity of his answer seems to say that the list of those criteria fundamental to a Christian's lifestyle is short, certainly shorter than many of those who call themselves fundamentalists would have us believe. One of the prayers of our litany asks God to deliver us from fanaticism. It would be interesting and amusing to know what goes through people's minds when we pray that prayer. For some, it would be doom and gloom prophets walking through city streets, calling for repentance. For others, it might be door-to-door visiting to hand out tracts of Scripture, or perhaps one might even consider some ideas proposed in the book we studied a short time back, Radical, to fit that criteria. Put simply, a fanatic is a person who forgets what is truly important and thus begins to major in something minor. Fanaticism results when something of small importance becomes for someone the entire focus of their life. The fact that Jesus was willing to identify love for God and neighbor as more compelling than any other biblical teaching or precept serves to remind us all of what is truly important in living our lives. Finer points of doctrine are, of course, important sometimes, but they're not the main thing. The main thing is living a life after the way of Jesus to embody the love of God which wants for us the love of God and the love for neighbor. These twin towers of religious law, as Jesus summarized them, suggest also that the religious life has both inward and outward dimensions. No one can take these two great commandments seriously and be content with just a life of worship, prayer, and study, or just a life of social action and humanistic thought. The love of God wants us to include both. And finally, these two commandments, as Jesus identifies them, present us with an impossible possibility. That is, the kind of love they command is at once our practical duty and responsibility, and yet an ideal often beyond our reach. To love God completely and to love one's neighbor as oneself is frequently a mission impossible. The moment we become self-conscious of our love, either for God or neighbor, we lose that essential spontaneity and selflessness required of pure love. The very moment I think to myself, I've demonstrated my love for God in worship today, the emphasis begins to move from worship and God to I and my. The second I begin to feel that twinge of pride in having helped my neighbor, love can easily be diluted. The impossible possibility of the dual love for God and neighbor thus serves to cast us anew upon God's grace and mercy. As our love, feeble as it is, continually falls short of the complete selfless love Jesus commanded, we experience that essential inability and ineptness which is basic to our nature and which makes us dependent upon a merciful and gracious God to do for us that which we cannot possibly do for ourselves. Life is ever more complicated, and following Jesus is indeed not a simple matter. Yet following him is still fundamentally the same as it's always been. It's a matter of returning again and again to what is truly important to living our lives. It is a matter of spiritual journey inward with a lifestyle journey outward. It's a matter of trust in all the sufficient grace and mercy of God. It is basically a matter of loving God completely and loving our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And on those two commandments, everything we are and hope to be depends. Let us pray. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away all arrogance and hatred which infect the heart. Break down the walls that separate unite in the bonds of love. Work through our struggles and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that we always love you and our neighbor. In your good time, may all nations and races serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.